The Lord be with you.
And
with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My brothers and sisters, I can remember way back when I was a child in catechism class. In one of the catechisms we used way back when was a picture of two stones. On one stone was written the first three commandments, the three commandments that deal with our relationship with God. You know, that we should have only one God before us, we should keep holy the Lord's name, and that we should keep holy the Lord's day. On the second stone was written the other seven commandments. And they are the commandments which relate to how we are to treat one another. That we should not lie, we should obey our parents, we should not commit sexual sin, we should not rob and steal, we should not desire or covet after the goods of another or the wife or husband of another. Those two sets of commandments are in some way given a sort of a resume by Jesus in the gospel today. You know, the love of your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul is really kind of pulling together, synthesizing those first three commandments. And then love your neighbor as yourself is pulling together those last seven commandments. Now, those two phrases that Jesus used, to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, were not new to the Pharisees. They knew them well because they knew the scriptures well. And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul comes from the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible. And it was and still is a prayer that a good Jew will say every day. He will repeat that. The second part, love your neighbor as yourself, comes from the book of Leviticus. And so Jesus wasn't telling them anything new. But what he was doing that was new was that he was pulling these two commandments together. And he was teaching them that you can't really love God if you do not love your neighbor. That those two things have to go together. If we love God, then we truly will love our neighbor. And so if I carry hatred or resentments, or if I want to take revenge, then I am not loving God. My love for God has to be shown in the way that I love those around me. You may ask why that is. And why it is because we are all sons and daughters of God. And how can I love the Father if I do not love His children? Now, obviously, the love of neighbor sometimes can be much harder, because sometimes the neighbor gets under our skin. And yet, that is what we are called to do. We are called to love the sons and daughters of God, precisely because they are the sons and daughters of God. Now, what I'd like to address this morning, I'm going to get rid of this paper. It's my security blanket. The question I'd like to address this morning is, what does it mean to love my neighbor? I think many times we get caught up in saying love of neighbor is really to take care of their physical, their material needs. And that's true. We should do that. But what I'd like to suggest, that the more profound love of neighbor is when I also address their spiritual needs. Because we know that these bodies that have physical needs are going to crumble into dust one day. But we also know that each of us has an aspect of our lives that is immortal, that will last forever. And the real love of neighbor is when I somehow am willing to reach out and help a person in their journey to eternal life. Because that is the thing that will last forever. So, while I should not neglect their physical needs, I need to even be more concerned about their spiritual needs. And that's the part that I think in the world today we are missing so often. We forget that as baptized people, you and I are called to be witnesses to Christ in the world. We are called to make Christ known to others. The way Jesus wants His message of the gospel to be spread is through people like you and I. He wants us, by the words we speak, but much more, by the example we give, to lead others to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. That is our task. Now, for parents, it's obvious that their first responsibility is not only the physical well-being of their children, but even more their spiritual well-being. And so often I see that neglected. You know, I see people leaping huge hurdles to get their children a good education, or to get them involved in whatever sport the child's interested in, and yet not taking care of their spiritual needs. And not that those other things are bad, but those things will go away. What lasts is that relationship with Christ Jesus. That relationship is what leads us into eternity. We have to come to know Him and serve Him. That's how we come to eternal life. But it goes beyond family. We are all responsible also to be witness to Christ to people maybe we've never known before, but somehow to draw them to Christ Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus said at the end as He left, He said, "Be my witnesses in the world." He wasn't just talking to the 12 apostles. He was talking to everyone who would ever believe in Christ Jesus. That through us, the world is to come to know the way to eternal life. And the way to eternal life is Christ Jesus, our Savior. And so today I just want to focus on that fact that if I truly love God, then I will love my neighbor. And part of the love for my neighbor is not only their physical, material well-being, but is also their spiritual well-being.